Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Listeners, welcome back to A Pod of Their Own. This is episode 186 of A Pod of Their Own. I am Allison McCaig, and I am joined this week by my lovely co-hosts, Linda Sarovich. Hello, Linda.
Hey, Allison.
And Maggie Wiggin. Hello, Maggie.
Hi, Allison.
So not a whole lot of Mets stuff has happened since we last recorded. We talked about Carlos Mendoza last time we recorded, but since the Mets hired Mendoza, they have since filled out their coaching staff. We know that the pitching coach and the hitting coach, Jeremy Hefner, and I wrote Hefner and Barnes, and I didn't write Barnes's first name. What's his first name?
This is a great sign.
We're starting off great.
This is so much.
It's good Jeremy
stuff
too. I was like,
Jeremy's Barnes and Hefner.
The Jeremys are still employed by the Mets, so they get to keep their jobs.
I guess fine. I don't know. I feel like, well, I don't know which one of them, or like think necessarily one of them has to go. It also seems weird that they had the year that they did, and this is what we're coming back with.
I agree.
Like, that there's kind of nothing moving around there.
I agree. I am not necessarily angry about this, but I'm somewhat confused by it.
Especially since it seems the pitching took a big step back last year.
Yeah.
So that was an intriguing one. I'm not saying, like you said, I'm not mad at it. It's just, it could have been justified too.
It's a bit of a head scratcher. That's how I feel like I would describe it best.
Yeah, it's odd. So they're staying in place, and it's like, I think the other thing that makes it odd, in addition to just, you know, they haven't really done anything to prove that they should keep their jobs. They haven't really done anything to earn it. The other thing that makes it odd is just like, I feel like the Mets have a new president of baseball operations under a relatively new owner. They're clearly trying to like change the direction of the organization and like shape it in a certain way, but they're still carrying guys over from like the Sandy era, and I just find that weird. And like, they're not just in the coaching staff, like in the front office too. They've made a bunch of new hires in the front office that we already talked about last time we recorded 2 weeks ago, but they, like, there are other guys that are still Sandy Alderson era guys that are still there. And so it's still, again, this weird like mix of philosophies, and it's like, I would like the Mets to actually have one single organizational direction.
I would understand it if nothing against the Jeremys, but these aren't guys with like decades of experience and like long track records of success, and it just, I just wish I kind of understood why. And like, maybe, you know, just putting something positive out there, perhaps they impressed Mendoza and David Stearns with good ideas for the future. Wouldn't that be something? But I hate that I have to ask the question.
Or is it just that they don't want too much turnover in a single year?
Do you want
some consistency? I mean, not that you really want consistency from last year. Like, let's not do that again.
It's like, it is a question, because then you also have them saying like, oh, well, so-and-so wants a complete, you know, wants to have their guys in and wants, you know, to bring in the new class. And I don't know. I feel like it's one of those things where they will always say it works better one way or the other.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Maybe when it comes to consistency, the Mets should start with having a GM in place for more than 1 year. We'll just start there.
And a coach for more than 2 years.
2024.
Yeah, like seriously. Speaking of which, a smaller note that's not coaching staff related, that is related to the GM, is that the Mets did say, or David Stearns, I think, said, I don't remember who said it or if it was Steve Cohen, but they said that they aren't hiring a GM this cycle, which is not surprising because it would be kind of late in the game to bring on a GM at this stage, like right before the winter meetings. So David Stearns is basically the GM right now, but eventually I think the idea is to have a GM in addition to David Stearns helping him run things, but for now it's just David Stearns filling the role of president of baseball operations and GM, which a lot of, that's not unique. Like, other teams do this. The Mets have done it in the past themselves. So, but yeah.
Sorry, like, fine is the energy I bring with that one. Like, fine. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I think Stearns that's correct. Stearns is proven
capable of in that role. So, yeah.
So the other part of the coaching, the other parts of the coaching staff, is that they hired former Blue Jays manager John Gibbons as bench coach, also former Mets player, and former,
because it's not the Mets without a 1986 player involved somehow.
Exactly. Gotta have a guy connected to the Mets in some way involved, otherwise it ain't just the Mets.
As long as it's not Wally Backman.
Yes.
I will say, although Hefner, in the year of our Lord 2023, in the year of our Lord 2023, I saw that name in black and white and I thought that was ridiculous. I'm glad it's over.
Yeah, like, yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, how much does the bench coach really matter? But also, yeah, like, right. Come on, let's let bygones be bygones in that regard. Let's not rehash that era. And the Mets also hired longtime Guardians third base coach Mike Sarbaugh as their third base coach. Gibbons is an interesting hire to me because my dad and I were talking about this. It's like he seems like the kind of like a red ass veteran old school baseball type, and it's like you just fired Buck Showalter and you brought in basically another kind of Buck Showalter archetype as your bench coach. And I guess he's supposed to be like the foil for the like first time manager, but it's kind of like, what? Like, why'd you fire Buck Showalter just to hire Buck Showalter as your bench coach?
Whatever. You just keep Buck as your bench coach. At least Colina will still have her Mets grandpa around.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, like, I don't think that this will actually be a problem because, again, like, I'm mostly confused about what a major league bench coach even does, really, except manage the games when the manager gets thrown out, but really they're just getting texts from the manager anyway.
Official vibes guy.
It's the vibes guy. So it's fine. Like, I don't think it will actually have an impact, but I just find it weird that they went with this like first time manager and now they're just like putting a Buck Showalter equivalent as the bench coach. The guy who's the third base coach, I mean, like, he has a good reputation. The guys on the Guardians liked him. Like, I don't know, like, what else there is to say. There was a long conversation that happened like late at night when I was already asleep. It is rare that I'm asleep late at night because I'm a night owl. But these days, now that the dog gets up at 6 a.m., I'm actually asleep during like midnight hour conversations in group chats and other places. So I miss some of that stuff. But there was a conversation in group chat I'm a part of that I'm glad I missed because it was all about like debating whether Francisco Lindor has like too much influence on the Mets and their hiring decisions. I was like, there is no evidence. Like, yes, this is like, this is Francisco. This is Francisco Lindor's former third base coach. Yes. I'm sure Francisco Lindor has a good relationship with Mike Sarbaugh. there is no evidence that Francisco Lindor asked Steve Cohen to hire or asked David Stearns or whoever to hire his favorite third base coach. There's no evidence that that's what's going on.
So what if he like picks up the phone and he's like, hey, I know you're looking for a third base coach. And I just wanted to say, I had a really great experience working with this guy. You should maybe consider looking into him. Even if he had said that, how is that inappropriate at all?
It's not a problem. People are making this huge thing out of it, and it's weird. And
not like he's not qualified for the job. It's not like they hired some rando because he's buddies with Lindor.
It's not like Lindor was like, hey, can you hire my cousin to be the third base coach? And they were like, sure, Francisco.
He's not Eric Adams, Allison.
Like, he is actually qualified for the job, and it's fine. And, like, yeah, maybe Lindor put a good word in, but we don't actually know that. So why are we mad about it?
Like, but doesn't anybody who applies for a job, if you know somebody in the organization, you're going to tell them, can you put in a good word for me? Like, anybody would do that.
Right. And I sincerely doubt that, like, I'm sure he still had to interview for the job and everything, yes. You guys. It's fine. Ay, ay, ay.
And are we really going to get that mad about a third base coach?
Yeah, like, who cares?
It's a third base coach.
Yeah. Did they hire a first base coach? I didn't see news of that. Because I don't think that Wayne Kirby is returning.
No.
I think that we knew that.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think they hired...
Off-season problems, folks. It's hard to stay up on all of them.
Yeah, no, I don't think they've filled that position yet.
Well, and also, I feel like arguing about a third base coach just shows how slow this off-season is going.
Yes.
Oh, wait. There was a report that the Mets will soon announce the hiring of Anton Richardson.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Antoine?
Antoine?
All I want to know... is will he send Brandon Nimmo?
That's, yes.
Like, will he be
Brandon
the one?
Nimmo doesn't want to be sent.
But he
someone's got to do it. He's obviously wrong.
Yeah.
We need to fix... Who's going to fix Brandon Nimmo?
He's wrong.
I literally just recently wrote Brandon Nimmo's season review for Amazing Avenue, and a big part of it was about, like, his base stealing and how, like, in the beginning of the year, we all thought that he was going to become a base stealer because of the new rules. And, like, halfway through the season, he just, like, gave up and was like, I can't do it. He literally gave quotes about it, was like, I'm really bad at it. So I just, like, stopped trying.
He's not bad at it.
Like, no, he just screwed up and he learned from that.
He made a combination of two things happened. He got hurt a couple of times, like, not like hurt, like injured list hurt, but like banged up a couple of times, like like sliding into second base on steal attempts. And he made the final out of that one game trying to steal second base when the Mets were down 2 runs. And so he was like, that's it, I give up.
Yeah, but
relatable energy to me, a person who, when I'm not good at something, I give up on it instantly. Like, that is a toxic personality trait of mine. So I can relate to Brandon Nimmo.
Antoine, you have your work cut out for you.
Yes, fix we believe
Brandon
in
Nimmo.
You.
Make him steal the bases. I believe in you. Yeah. If you get hired, which it sounds like is probably going to happen, weird thing to leak.
He is coming from the Giants, by the way. So that's his previous organization.
Did Francisco Lindor put in a good word for him, Allison?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so that's it regarding the coaching staff. The Mets also hired former Bloomberg Media CEO M. Scott Havens to be president of business operations. So this is essentially, for people who aren't familiar with the ins and outs of how, like, baseball franchises work, this was basically the role that Sandy Alderson was doing before, where he basically runs everything except baseball operations. So David Stearns is running baseball operations, everything to do with, like, acquiring
everything
players and
care about
and payroll. Yeah, like everything that most people who are fans of a team care about.
David Stearns controls what we hope to talk about on the podcast, And the new guy controls the things that inevitably we end up having to talk about, even though it is bullshit.
Yep. Stuff that we don't want to actually talk about on the podcast, we have to talk about. Yeah, everything else about how the organization is run and like the stadium and like everything like that. So yeah, he's president of business operations. I mean, no. I don't. Whatever. He's a businessman. That's for sure.
He's going to the
business factory
before him.
I think like was Sandy Alderson still like the shadow president?
I don't know.
I think he might have been.
They announced
that Sandy was now doing an advisory role, and they announced that a while ago. So I don't know in the interim who was doing all this stuff.
We need some kind of
Deep
a like
Cohen himself, possibly
history nerd Maybe. Podcast that actually covers the leadership of the New York Mets over the centuries of their existence. So I need like British guys who, you know, do a lot of research talking about the complicated family tree of Mets front office.
I need one of those big cork boards with like twine and photos of people. That's what we need. Like a web. The Mets leadership web. And yeah.
A big question mark with a circle. It says Jared Porter.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I'm like one of the conspiracy theory boards.
Real?
Real? Fake? Imagined? Who can say? Speaking of like.
Is Bigfoot on this board? I want to know.
Speaking of disgraced former Mets GMs who may not be real, Zach Scott has been like tweeting a lot recently. He just like. I don't know if he made the Twitter account recently or just like started tweeting again from a previously like inactive account, but he's just out here tweeting about like stuff that happened during his tenure and like mostly why it wasn't his fault.
Yeah, of course.
Like I'm trying to this is fascinating radio, but I'm trying to like find like some of the tweets that he tweeted.
Now, my conspiracy theory is that this is not really Zach Scott.
Really?
That's an interesting conspiracy theory.
Yes.
I like that.
I mean, with Twitter, you never know now.
Yeah. This is true.
What's his actual, like, handle?
Oh, I just feel like...
Zach Scott Sports, is that it? Yeah.
With all the empathy in my heart, Zach Scott, this is not how you're supposed to do the 12 steps. It's the other way around. You're supposed to say you're sorry.
It's very clear that he's trying
That's
to get
the
a...
tea.
It's very clear he's trying to get a job.
Yes.
Like,
I feel like going, like, spilling business on Twitter is definitely not how I would get a job. I would shut my mouth. But then look at me. So
I'm trying to find. Oh, yeah. The McCann stuff was hilarious. And he tweeted about that. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
He takes the blame for nothing.
Yeah, no, I know. So let me like find the series
of
tweets he tweeted about
business right there. Mm-hmm. Never take responsibility.
Nope. It wasn't my idea. I was against it the whole time.
Like, yeah, look at the buck stopping way over there.
There was a series of tweets he made. This was on November 22nd. It starts with, I gathered 50 unique topics that I'll try to address over time. I'm thinking about starting a podcast so I could answer some of the bigger ones on that. Otherwise, I'll just reply to individual questions in the thread. First, I'll list the questions I can't answer. I either wasn't around for it or don't know enough to answer questions about Cano. Like, and there's a bunch of stuff. Bets for Harvey. I don't think, parentheses, right. Don't think that's real. There's a lot, and Real Muto / McCann is one of those topics. And then he followed with McCann contract was done by Sandy. Porter and I were GM finalists still interviewing when that was finished. Before I interviewed, I removed my case for Real Muto over Springer from the presentation because McCann was just about completed. Unfortunately, my post led to, and then he followed like later with, unfortunately, my post led to Sandy bashing, which I don't like. I was just being accurate. We all make mistakes. I sure did. Yeah, no shit, Sherlock.
Yeah, Sandy drunk would be one of them.
Then
I
again,
gotta say, I think
people...
it's pretty clear he definitely does need a job because he is spending a lot of time on Twitter. Yeah. Like, my goodness, buddy. Please get a job.
I love how like, he just
Zach Scott.
Had to
please
do a whole...
Grass.
a whole series of tweets like, James McCann was not my fault. Oh,
if
man.
I start tweeting anything about like James McCann not being my fault or whatnot, just please just take me aside and explain that I need to get myself together because this is embarrassing.
Oh yeah, he also talked about the bias trade too. He said like
trade wasn't even that bad.
I know, people hate it though. Addressing the pressures at the deadline, I've seen people say that Steve, Sandy, or Lindor were the drivers for that trade. That's absolutely not true. It was made clear to me that we had to do something significant, which is not an ideal starting point, but it was what it was. I asked Lindor about Baez's makeup and how he thought Javi may handle the transition to New York, but that was his only participation in the process. So this was kind of another thread in the does Lindor have too much influence conversation, because like people think that like Lindor like essentially did the Baez trade. There was like reporting about that at the time about how like Lindor was pushing for Javi Baez on the Mets because they're friends and you know they've played together, they really like each other. But like there's no way that Zach Scott literally denies this like on Twitter. I mean, it is literally Zach Scott, so take it that way you will.
Is it though? Is it? I still could be somebody crying for attention. Well, do we have proof this is Zach Scott or somebody creating fan fiction?
We don't.
I mean, there's an awful. I mean, we'll never underestimate the ability of somebody to make fan fiction, but these are a lot of tweets. This seems.
And I feel like it's like stuff that if you were trying to be Zach Scott, you wouldn't even say. Like, I don't know. Like,
it's just weird. It's all of a sudden this dude just starts tweeting and asking for attention.
It's because he's trying to get a job.
Yeah, that would make sense.
He's like, ignore the DUI. Here's all my stuff that I know. I'm very smart. I'm going to tweet about it all.
Like, can these people just go away?
The smartest people always go straight to tweet about it.
Yeah, the smartest people tweet through it. Everybody knows this.
Like, I haven't thought of Zach Scott in years, and now here I am thinking about Zach Scott. Can these people just go away?
Yeah, well. I guess this is a good transition to speaking of tweeting through it, Mets-affiliated people that should stop tweeting through it. We had an incident involving Howie Rose on Twitter that like almost blew up into a thing, and it probably isn't a thing, but I hope it doesn't become a thing. So Howie Rose tweeted at one point, this was I guess on Friday, I think. He tweeted like, I hear Ohtani news may be coming soon or something like that. And everybody, of course, went apeshit because this is, you know, the guy who does the radio for the Mets tweeting about Ohtani news. And it's like, why would
not a guy to do that either?
Right. He's not a scoops guy. He's a radio broadcaster. And so, like, why would the Mets radio broadcaster be tweeting about Ohtani news unless it was related to the Mets? And he very quickly had to retract that and said like, oh, I was just kidding. Or like the operative word was like, maybe and soon. Like it was very clear that someone on the Mets was like, shut up, Howie, for God's sake, stop tweeting stuff. And so he had to retract it. But because like Shohei Ohtani said very clearly, I do not want leaks about where I'm potentially signing. So like, Howie, shut up. Don't leak it or he won't sign with the Mets.
Yeah, don't blow this for us, man.
That would be the Mets luck. That would definitely
if Howie Rose ruins Ohtani to the Mets, I don't know what I'm gonna do. It's truly just a cursed franchise.
Does Howie Rose, like all his years of goodwill, does that just evaporate in one?
I'll be pretty mad.
I mean, there would certainly have to be like a grandpa didn't know what he was doing sort of a side to it.
True,
with all due respect to Howie, there would definitely be like a how does Twitter work anyway sort of feeling.
No, Uncle Howie got drunk again.
Like, maybe he thought he was texting. Like, it could really be anything at all.
Howie Rose got drunk at Thanksgiving again.
But yeah, oh, somebody forgot to take Uncle Howie's phone away.
Yeah, like
Alyssa Rose got a hold of it.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I wonder, I mean, like, I don't know. I do wonder who he heard it from, and like, what if his daughter heard something from someone? I don't know. I think that, like, I mean, we'll never know. Hopefully we'll never know. Because if we find out about, like, what the source for this was, I have a feeling it will be, like, months after Ohtani doesn't sign with the Mets, then we'll find out about it. And if Ohtani does sign with the Mets, we'll probably never find out about this. But I have a feeling... I have a feeling that the Mets were just, like, meeting with Ohtani or something. And
I feel like if Ohtani was in New York, somebody would spot him, though. I mean...
Right, so sure. Like, it could have been a virtual meeting. Maybe it was Zoom.
That's true. That is the thing, though. He's like 6'10" or whatever. How undercover is he going to be?
No, yeah. It's like an equal-eyed person spotted Pete in the background of Lacey Chabert at the Thanksgiving Day parade.
Yeah. Well.
So, like, you're not going incognito if you're Shohei Ohtani in New York City. It's just not going to happen.
Which is one of the reasons why he may not sign with the Mets, because I don't think he wants any part of that life.
Wait, somebody else pointed out that he had courtside seats at the Lakers game. So somebody Fair was enough. Like, oh, the Dodgers are whining and dining Ohtani.
Yeah, well.
It's like, well, what are we going to do? Send Ohtani to the Knicks game? We can't compete with the Lakers. We don't have LeBron.
Eh, lots of celebrities go to Knicks games, though. It's like kind
That's
of
true. That is true.
That is true.
It's like kind
the
of
Knicks
the same
to have some sort of a like Mystique. Magical draw that,
yeah,
you know, no matter what, people always seem to
it's
be
a place
out
to
there.
Be seen. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like the Knicks, as far as like looking cool at a New York sporting event, I feel like it's the Yankees and the Knicks. Like those are the two New York teams that are like the cool ones.
Do not send him to a football game under any circumstances.
What? Tommy DeVito ain't doing it for you? My New Jersey mans? Please. He's doing better than everyone expected.
Yes! That's his bad part.
Come on.
Oh, God. If you want a taste of Jersey life, Ohtani, here it is.
Yeah, seriously.
Although I was offended that they played the Sopranos theme when they took the field. No, that is for the Cherv only.
No. And Linda, to be fair, and for Rutgers. Every time Rutgers football takes the field, they play the Sopranos theme song.
Okay, fine. I'm sure they've been doing it for years. Then fine. I will grant them that.
Yeah, I don't know how long they've been doing it. I just know that it's a thing right now. But...
Okay. But I was... Don't take that away from the Cherv.
It is a very good thing that the Cherv does. Hopefully we'll hear more of it next year.
I know. It just brings back Cherv memories and I'm upset.
So in like Mets related free agency news, there isn't much. Obviously the Mets, I think, are interested in Ohtani, but like who isn't? Like that's not news. Like I think everybody except the Mariners is officially in.
The Mariners are like, oh no, please don't consider us involved in the that.
Our enemies are spreading vicious rumors that we are in on Shohei Ohtani. Let us be abundantly clear, we are out.
Please let us clear this up.
We don't want the good player, too expensive. We will instead trade Eugenio Suarez for garbage. We're going to keep doing that sort of stuff.
Yeah, competing, we tried it once, didn't like it. We'll try it again in a couple years.
Yeah.
Wish they'd trade us somebody who's for garbage.
Our 50-
I feel like everybody is around getting good players for garbage. Where's our good player for garbage?
Yeah, come on. Like
our 53% over 10 years plan still going strong.
I want a good player for garbage, period.
Yeah, well, come on.
We'll see if Jared Kelly.
Somebody's
going to
want
garbage.
Drew Smith. Who wants Drew Smith? Come on.
The Mets do. They tendered him a contract. Sadly.
To be fair, the Mets want a pulse in the bullpen. So,
yes.
You know.
But it was leaked that they were shopping him right before they tendered him a contract. They're like, well, nobody wants him. So I guess we got
to. Well, yeah, that was clearly a. Someone please take Drew Smith leak that and it didn't work. No one wants Drew Smith.
Poor Drew Smith.
No one wants our garbage. So yeah, the The only other free agency sort of news is obviously that the Mets are, along with the Yankees and others, very interested in Yamamoto, who has officially been posted. So that sweepstakes has begun. According to reports, he is expected to meet with teams by Zoom or phone this week, which will, and then he'll use those meetings to like narrow down the list of contenders, and he'll meet with the finalists in person at the winter meetings next week. At one point it was reported that he would prefer to play for a team with a Japanese player or like Japanese players, and that made the Mets fans, all of us, very excited, because obviously we have one of those, which would give the Mets the advantage. But his agent insists that was a like translation issue, that he just simply said he wouldn't mind playing with other Japanese players. It wasn't like, oh, I prefer it. It was like, oh, that would be fine with me, sort of thing. I don't know. I don't speak Japanese, so I don't know if that's true.
Well, so they were interested in Severino, and according to all my Yankees fans' cousins, that would be, they're like, oh, no, he's totally washed. You don't want Severino.
That is certainly a high-risk, high-reward sort of situation.
They were like, he was great when he was good, but they're like, no, he's totally not great anymore.
I think that would be bad.
We've had Severinos before.
We've done this before. But that would be pretty underwhelming, even as a second pitcher acquisition. But who knows? The starting pitching market is starting to thin out, as they say. So.
Congratulations, Zach Wheeler, I guess. He deserves it.
So we already alluded to this, the other bit of Mets news. We already alluded to this by talking about how they tendered Drew Smith a contract. The non-tenders are Daniel Vogelbach, Luis Guillorme, Jeff Brigham, Sam Coonrod, and Trevor Gott. All other arbitration eligible players are tendered, including DJ Stewart, notably,
and the Cherv,
and David Peterson, among others. So I think the only somewhat surprising name on the list of non-tenders to me is Luis Guillorme. I think that obviously there was some questions as to whether Vogelbach would be tendered, but I don't think that's all that surprising. Like, he was gonna get paid like a fair amount of money, and I think the Mets want to move on from him in the DH role. So
there's better bats out there.
There's better bats, and I think that the Mets are no longer interested in having like the player that can only DH and doesn't do anything else. So I would like to fill that with Shohei Ohtani. That'd be great.
That would be awesome.
A+.
But we'll see what happens there. Yeah, I'm kind of sad about Luis Guillorme. I feel like he should have gotten a spot, but he's basically a backup shortstop on a team that has an all-star shortstop. Although Lindor should have made the all-star team and he didn't, but you know what I mean. A shortstop that plays every day.
And he's also the kind of player that I like, Luis Guillorme, and maybe the Mets sign him back, but players like Guillorme, you can sign for less than he was probably going to get in arbitration. And it's not to say that like that's how it should all go, but from like the baseball as a business perspective, like, he's the kind of player that gets non-tendered.
Yeah. And I think that it wouldn't be all that surprising for him to land on a second division team and be their starting shortstop. That would not surprise me all that much to see a team like, I'm trying to think of a team, like a bad team that doesn't have a starting shortstop. Because I was going to say like the Tigers or something, but Javier Baez is on the Tigers. Keep forgetting.
Because he had
the worst year ever last year. Yeah. But a non-competing team, I could see rostering Luis Guillorme on the cheap to be their starting shortstop, because he's very good defensively. And if he hits enough, you know, it's Luis Guillorme is not a very good hitter, but sometimes he hits enough. And when he hits enough, you can squint your eyes and see a starting shortstop because of how much value he provides on defense.
Well, I always, if he would just be like a little better than Ray Ordonez, he could have been fine. But I mean, his walks were way down. He just, offensively, he took a step back last year. The injuries didn't help. But like, he was basically Ray Ordonez. And when the rest of the team is struggling, you know, you can't have that player in the lineup. And
yeah,
it is, you know, this is what happens.
It stinks because the Mets have a whole lot of, you know, third baseman, especially, that could use a strong defense backup player to go in for them in games when the Mets are winning in the late innings by a narrow margin. But it's not enough to pay Luis Guillorme's arbitration salary and have a roster spot filled by him just for that purpose. I understand the Mets thinking, but I'm sad about it because I also like him as a human being.
Again, the infield's already crowded with Mauricio now here and Baby and McNeil.
And Vientos, maybe.
Yeah, so he was kind of the odd man out.
Yeah. I have a feeling McNeil's going to be basically playing outfield full-time next year, though. Given the Mets' current outfield situation, unless they sign something like a Teoscar Hernandez, which I don't think is out of the question necessarily, and would be a good move for them. But otherwise, their outfield picture is pretty bleak. We've got obviously Brandon Nimmo in center field. You can put that in ink unless he gets hurt or something. Please don't get hurt. And then we've got Starling Marte with maybe half a functional groin.
Half might be
giggity.
That might be generous.
We'll see if his groin surgery like holds. I don't know. It's not great. And DJ Stewart, that is the current outfield outlook. Not good. So no. You got to put McNeil out there, I think, every day for the time being. And maybe Mauricio just becomes the everyday second baseman. I don't know.
But I still feel like you need a third baseman. I don't know if you can trust Beatty.
I actually think that the Mets probably need a third baseman more than an outfielder. I think so too.
Third base is an important position.
I would love for them to sign Matt Chapman. I think that'd be a great fit, but no, I don't know if they're going to do that.
No, according to one of the days that I did morning news, they said they are filling the third base position internally.
Great.
I don't know who said that.
That's going to go well.
That's just the quote that I remember sticking out.
I hope one of them sticks during spring training, because if they don't, we have no backup.
We have a problem.
Yeah. Yikes. Yes. They better sign Ohtani. They need more hitters.
And also pitchers.
And bullpen. And this rule changes.
It's not great. And speaking of rule changes, I forgot to put this in the show notes, but I guess I'll start the baseball segment with this because I forgot to put it in the show notes, but it's rather notable, is that Major League Baseball is shortening the pitch clock for runners on base. It was previously 20 seconds, I think, right? And now it's 18, and now it's going to be 18. Is that what it is?
Oh my God, stop. Yeah, busting like with it. Just leave it.
Or it can make it longer.
As someone who was always against the pitch clock, hate to say I told you so, but this was always coming, in my opinion. Major League Baseball was never going to make it longer. They were always going to keep shortening it. And they're going to keep doing that, or at least attempting to do that, until they can't anymore. Until it's like so fast that they can't.
It'll be like when you have it on like 2x speed.
I said that to me, watching baseball with the pitch clock is like when you listen to, like, it's the same thing as when you listen to podcasts on like 1.5x. Like, some people like that because it saves them time. And I can understand and appreciate that. But that is not how I prefer to listen to podcasts. I never listen to them on 1.5x. I listen to them on normal speed. I watch my baseball at normal speed.
But I didn't mind the overall, like the general pace of the game felt pretty good after the first couple weeks. It just like felt like a kind of normal, quickish game. And that I was surprised by, but I don't hate it. But it's weird, the fussing with it, though. Cut it out. Stop. Just let it be. Ugh.
I would have preferred them add, like, 2 to 3 seconds, and I think I would have been fine with it.
I would have been fine with that, also.
I still find it distracting when, like, it goes to 10 and they put it up on the score bug. I notice it every time, but I know that that's just a me thing because people are like, you notice that? And I'm like, yeah, I notice it when a clock suddenly appears in a sport where I'm not used to a clock showing up. Like,
yeah, I feel like it falls into the same category as, like, the strike zone for me, where I get that, like, I guess some people want that information, but ultimately I think it actually sort of, like, can confuse it sometimes, and it's distracting. So yeah,
I find it distracting.
I would turn it off if I could.
Yeah. So the other bit of baseball news is that the owners voted unanimously to approve the Athletics' move to Las Vegas. So that is
boo,
like, it was
boo.
Already pretty official, but now it's like official. Gross. Yeah. So this is like, it's amazing to me. I guess it's because it's been such a slow burn over the past year or two. But it's amazing to me that this is not like the biggest story in baseball right now, and hasn't been the entire time this has been unfolding. Like, I'm not saying there hasn't been coverage of it. There's been plenty of coverage of it. But I feel like it's never been the thing that everybody's talking about, except for maybe that one day after the reverse boycott. But this is a big deal. This is only like the second time in the past 50 years that an MLB franchise has relocated. And it's sad. It's just sad.
And it's for shitty reasons.
Yeah, it's for shitty reasons.
Well, I think that might be part of it is, you know, they don't want it to be a story.
Yeah.
They only want to focus on the good part. Like, when the stupid, what's that stupid dome thing in Vegas had like, welcome to Vegas A's. And it's like, oh yeah, another failure of event.
Oh, whatever. Adventure. The sphere.
Yes.
Oh my God. I'm like, everything I've learned about this has been against my will. I can say that.
And of course, Dolan is involved in that. Of course. Like, why am I not surprised? Oh,
shock of shocks.
Yeah. Gross.
And of course, throughout all of this, John Fisher continues to step on his own, you know what? And he had the absolute audacity to say to a fan's face, quote, "It's been worse for me than you."
Yeah, I'm sure he goes home and cries into his billions every night.
I was going to say, you could just blow your nose right into that $100 bill.
Good. Love it when the owner talks about how rough it's been for him. It's like, you're the one abandoning the fan. Like, they don't have a baseball team anymore, man. You still have the baseball team. So it's yours. You own it. What? It's been worse for me than you. Shut up, John.
You're the one who did this.
Yeah, like, we're all trying to find the guy
who did this.
And also it remains unclear where the A's will play after 2024 because they're lease at the Coliseum expires before their stadium in Vegas will be ready. So for like 3 seasons, they're going to have to play, I don't know, in a AAA stadium in Sacramento, in Oracle Park in San Francisco, share it with the Giants, which I'm sure that'll make Oakland fans really, really happy. Yeah, there are really no good options here. There's also a chance that they could like get a temporary lease on the Coliseum, but that would involve like Oakland spending literally more money on the team that is leaving their city. So good luck on convincing the folks in Oakland to do that.
This happened in hockey where the Coyotes, the Coyotes are a mess. And they ended up playing like in a 2,000 seat college arena.
Yike, a Rooney.
So I'm like, this is what I'm imagining with the
No,
A's.
That's what's going to, I mean, if they play in a AAA stadium, that's basically going to be
pretty much
the situation.
Yeah.
It's and, not and good. Like, they won't fill that, I don't think.
Well, they're already planning a boycott for opening day.
Good. They should be.
I hope they do, yeah.
I feel bad for the players.
I do, too. And also, I don't know if you saw the interview with Max Scherzer where he said that was the most, like, insane atmosphere he ever played in.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, literally everybody in baseball realizes how awful this is for baseball, except for Major League Baseball themselves.
Oh, speaking of Max Scherzer, he took a shot at the Mets and everyone's really mad about it. And I so do not care. Like, I just like he said something about like, oh, money is cool, but winning is even better. And I'm like, yeah, actually, he's right. So why are you so mad?
And he got both.
Yeah. I don't think that was a shot at the Mets.
I think it was.
I don't think so.
But I don't care if it is. Like, the Mets deserve it.
Well, and also, like, honestly, at this point, if Max Scherzer is still sitting around thinking about the Mets, then that's on him.
Yeah, fair enough.
Good point. Dude, get a hobby. Yeah. But I also don't think he does think about the ball that much.
Probably not. I think about them too much, and I hate myself.
I wouldn't think about the Mets if I was Max Scherzer.
No, I wouldn't either.
Exactly. So the hot stove isn't quite hot yet, but
it's not even lukewarm.
Not really.
Yeah.
But a few things have happened.
It's basically a crock pot.
It's a crock pot. on the low setting.
On the low burn, yeah.
We're gonna wake up to a lovely stew.
Yeah. I hope so. I mentioned that the Mariners traded Eugenio Suarez to the Diamondbacks. That was for their garbage. For backup catcher Sebi Zavala and reliever Carlos Vargas. Cool. Traded like one of the most beloved players on your team for that. Awesome.
Can we get Kirby? I really want Kirby. He's a local guy. He's good.
George Kirby is really good. I don't think the Mariners are going to trade him for our garbage.
Why?
Why not? Because he doesn't make money.
And we should remember that, you know, one of the things the Mets did this past season was add a lot of prospects. And they haven't really spent a lot of prospects in a while. And I feel like, obviously, humans, not money, objects. But, you know, they do have the capacity to pull off trades, even if somebody's not willing to just trade us Suarez for practically nothing at all. Like, I do hope that the Mets are barking up that tree, because that's where I think they could find some real money.
I think Glasnow could be a good target.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They could. Yeah, the Mariners certainly aren't trading them George Kirby, because George Kirby makes league minimum. They traded Eugenio Suarez because he makes money.
But I want Kirby, damn it. We could have Kirby memes.
I know, we could. We already had Kirby, Wayne Kirby.
We did. But nobody took advantage of Kirby memes. I'm disappointed.
I did. Excuse
you
me.
You did, yes.
How dare you?
I am the queen of Kirby memes.
I did not do any Kirby memes, if any of our listeners are feeling, you know, like alone in this. I did not do any Kirby memes.
But yeah, I mean, I think that I think that Glasnow could be a good target. I think the Mets should be barking up the Padres tree, certainly.
This is my Yankee fan cousins again, but they're convinced the Yankees are going to trade for Soto.
I would hate
the
shit
out
of
that. I mean, they're going to try. I believe that.
I'm sure the Yankees
have to give up.
They have lots of good stuff.
Because I thought their minors were kind of
I feel like their minors are always so much better than you would think they would be, given how high their draft or low their draft picks tend to be.
Because outside of Dominguez, I didn't think they really had anybody.
I don't know. I'm not an expert in the Yankee system.
No, I'm not either.
So
I never doubt the ability of the Yankees to pull off what I know without question the Mets could never pull.
And they could,
that's
I mean,
sort of
like,
how I approach
and
all
it'll
of
be
these
something
questions.
Stupid too. Like, they'll give up like their like seventh ranked prospect and like a bench player for Juan Soto.
I was going to say they can trade. They can also certainly trade from the major league roster, which is plenty talented, yeah, even if they didn't have the season that they were hoping for. But yeah, I mean,
well, and that is one area where it's not impossible, but there's not a lot of options for the Mets to be trading from the major league roster.
It's basically Mauricio and Beatty and
yeah. Cubs back off with the Pete Alonso rumors, for God's
Christ,
sake.
Cubs, let it go.
Oh, and
you're so obsessed.
You're embarrassing
with
yourselves.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yikes.
You can't have him. He's not a Rangers game.
Rumor has it that Pete Alonso wants to be on the Cubs so bad, says Cubs beat writers.
He was at the Thanksgiving Day parade. He's at the Rangers game wearing a New York or nowhere shirt.
No one has ever accused that man of being too subtle.
It's true.
I don't understand what Pete is trying to tell us. What do you think he's trying to tell us, y'all?
I don't know. This is hard. This is hard.
So yeah, the Padres are going to be offloading salary. Sadly, in part because their owner passed away. So I think the Padres are kind of a mess, and were a mess before his death, to be clear. They took out like a $50 million loan just to cover payroll obligations from last year. So that's not good. So they are, and they have a lot of, you know, like long, expensive contracts on the books that they are going to try to offload some of that. Soto, I would not be surprised if they are fielding offers on Fernando Tatis. I don't know if we, the Mets, actually want any part of that. Given the injury history, the PED history, and the fact that he is owed a whole lot of money. I mean, like, he's really young and really, really good at baseball, but I don't know. There's a lot of baggage there, not just the money. So,
I mean, I will say, if they call, I'm listening.
Sure.
I am
always
listening to hear what is going to go out on the table with that offer. Because for sure.
I would target their pitching more.
Yeah. They do have old shiny ears.
Mm-hmm. Old shiny ears.
Old shiny ears.
He would be the one I would target, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, he would be a fine three after Yamamoto and Senga.
Sure. Especially since a couple of the other, like, two, three type guys have recently signed. Some of the top pitchers available have already signed.
Nola wasn't going anywhere.
No. Yeah. So that was one of the first major things that happened this offseason, is that Aaron Nola re-upped with the Phillies. That's no surprise there. He was always going to be more valuable to the Phillies than anybody else, and he got his money, and good for him. And, you know, that was not a surprise on the part of anyone. But the other, like, major pitcher that got signed was actually just today, as we record this on Monday. Sonny Gray signed with the Cardinals, who are stockpiling a bunch of pitchers, but Sonny Gray is by far the best one. They also signed Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson. So they're just, like, running out a rotation full of, like, old white veterans, more or less. Someone said something like, people have been posting memes of, like, the Cardinals rotation and Steven Matz. I don't know. Is Steven Matz a veteran at this point? Hard to say.
I guess.
I'm not ready for that conversation.
He's still on the Cardinals. Yeah, that's still a thing. Somebody posted a picture of, like, the Cardinals rotation. It was like the line behind you at the Arby's. the damn, so true. So yeah, that's the Cardinals are stockpiling those types of guys. Kenta Maeda signed with the Tigers. That's kind of weird, but sure. Go off, Tigers. You do you. The Braves are doing, like, some shady shit that I don't trust, because they're like doing a bunch of, like, weird trades that are all gonna work out for them somehow. Because that's the shit that always happens for them. They signed, the one thing they did do is they signed Reynaldo Lopez, which is interesting. They're going to make him a starting pitcher. He may just end up staying a reliever, but even if he does like $10 million a year, 3 years, I think $10 million a year, I think they did for him. And so that's an expensive eighth inning guy, but it's not out of the realm of what eighth inning guys make. That was I said it when the news broke. I think I was in the car with Michael and I said, that's literally the Jay Reese Familia contract.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
So
pretty much.
And they did some like trades. They traded Kyle Wright for Jackson Kowar. And that is a sign that it is clear to me that they think Kyle Wright is done and toasted. And they also traded a boatload of players, including Mike Soroka, who they also clearly think is toasted, for White Sox reliever Aaron Bummer. And the White Sox are stupid and easily fleeced. So I have a feeling that this is the Braves, you know, doing their usual hijinks where they give up nothing and get incredible talent back, or they like
the reverse Mariners.
Yeah. Or they sign a player for, you know, whatever, like they sign Reynaldo Lopez for 3 years and $30 million. And he ends up being like a number one starter because Braves. Yeah. So they're doing a bunch of stuff and I don't trust them. Yeah, they like the Mets, much like the Mets, are like made a bunch of room on their 40-man roster by like getting rid of a bunch of players, which the Mets did that. They got rid of like 16 players on their 40-man roster in the span of like 2 weeks, the Mets. Which impressive. There were some other like kind of interesting, not big deal, but like sort of interesting trades. Scott Barlow was traded to the Guardians, and the Guardians traded Cal Quantrill to the Rockies. Poor Cal Quantrill. That's mean. Trading any pitcher to the Rockies is mean.
Yeah, there's got to be some kind of protection in contracts for that. Seriously? Where's the union on that one?
I know, right?
The pitchers need their own union.
Yeah, so Cal Quantrill has always been like a marginal back end starter, and fine. He's the type of guy that like is always available in my fantasy league every year, and I pick him up when three of my pitchers get hurt, sort of guy. And so then you need that guy. He's always been fine, but you can't send that guy to the Rockies because then he's going to become non-rosterable. And he's not a strikeout guy either.
No,
so I don't.
No.
That's special.
R.I.P. Cal Quantrill.
There are probably some other moves I'm forgetting, but those are kind of like the ones that caught my eye when I was like reviewing MLB trade rumors and remembering what has happened so far. Yeah,
just as exciting as we all had hoped.
Yeah,
a thrilling ride into the holiday season that we were all waiting for.
Mets have not done really anything except for their tender, non-tender decisions. And they've signed a couple guys to minor league deals. The most notable among those was reliever Cole Sulcer, who has had somewhat of a major league career. It's one of those, like, we'll see if that sticks.
Well, I think part of the problem, too, is 2 years ago on Black Friday, the Mets signed Marte, Escobar, and Canna within hours of each other.
Right.
And like, that was so fun.
R.I.P.
I know. I completely forgot that that all happened on Black Friday. That's right.
Within hours of each other. It's like, wait, what?
That was so cool. Remember when we were like, everything's different now. The Mets are cool now. The Mets are good.
The Mets are being aggressive. Someday they will be again, Allison.
We've made our way out of irrelevance once. We can do it again. I believe in us.
The 2022 Mets were good.
They were. We will never forget them.
So the final thing that is on tap for this week is a sort of late breaking story that Maggie brought to my attention that I didn't even know about. I was in my work and then I went straight to PT hidey hole, I guess. And I missed this entirely today. I was very offline today, so I missed this entirely. But this is
you spend one day offline, Allison.
I know, seriously.
And look what you miss.
This is absolutely bonkers though, which is that apparently Sports Illustrated has been publishing articles by fake AI generated writers.
Yeah, like it's not even that the articles are generated. It seems like they have come up with like writer profiles and names and photos that are also AI generated.
Yeah, the bylines are all AI
all the way down.
Yes.
And like, spoiler alert, I have read bits and pieces of some of the articles in question, which, by the way, Sports Illustrated just deleted all of.
Yep.
They were not good. They had big, what's the word I'm looking for? AI energy.
Yeah. Did you guys see that? I assume you did because it's been all over Twitter and all over the internet. Did you see that like AI singer-songwriter that wrote a song?
Yes, the creepy singer-songwriter.
Awful. And the song is so bad. It's like, why are we putting AI in like art now? Like, I mean, it's always been in art, obviously, but like, stop putting AI in like creative endeavors. That's like the opposite of, I'm not anti-AI in general. Like, AI can help with a lot of stuff and it can be really useful for certain applications, but like creative endeavors, like creative writing and like music and art. Like, why are we doing this? Doesn't it take the joy out of all of it?
They're just run by venture capitalist firms who don't particularly care about any of the part that's not the money. Like, that's the only reason they exist is now to make more and more money. And, you know, with the like infinite growth expectations, like that means cutting more and more costs. And it's really getting easier and easier to not pay writers, it seems. But like, what's scary is that, you know, eventually there's going to be more of this than actual writing. And that's when the AI starts to feed off of itself. And it is going to get like photocopy of a photocopy of a photocopy real fast.
Yep,
and it's bad enough already. And like, by the time it actually becomes truly unreadable, all of the writers will be gone. And I don't know how you get back from that. So like, please stop turning the internet's words into meaningless soup, please.
Well, and training the language model on a bunch of AI generated articles, I'm sure that will go well.
Yeah.
Well, what they did was they put links in it that they make money from. So you're not paying a writer and you're getting money from the affiliated links you put in the articles.
And all that also, I mean, big asterisk everywhere, allegedly, because Sports Illustrated also came out, or I should say like the VC group that owns them and others. And what they basically said was like, yes, you know, or it was like, these are real people who wrote real articles, and we did it through this outside service that, you know, we already thought was maybe bad, but they're definitely real articles written by real people. We are absolutely sure of that. And as any media company does, when they are absolutely sure of something, they turned off replies
in their shitty statement.
Yep.
Where they were like, this is definitely real. You're being mean to us. Stop slandering us.
And like, we've just talked about this before, and it's just actual good sports writing jobs being turned into nothing. Like, I guess they call it content generation, but like, what do you even like read that? I don't understand. Nobody's actually reading this stuff, because if they did, they would realize that it was written by a literal robot.
Right. This is the opener for one of the articles about this from Futurism. There was nothing in Drew Ortiz's author biography at Sports Illustrated to suggest that he was anything other than human. Drew has spent much of his life outdoors and is excited to guide you through his never-ending list of the best products to keep you from falling to the perils of nature, it read. Nowadays, there's rarely a weekend that goes by where Drew isn't out camping, hiking, or just back on his parents' farm. The only problem? Outside of Sports Illustrated, Drew Ortiz doesn't seem to exist. He has no social media presence and no publishing history. And even more strangely, his profile photo on Sports Illustrated is for sale on a website that sells AI-generated headshots where he's described as, quote, neutral white young adult male with short brown hair and blue eyes. Great.
To be fair, that basically does describe like 65% of the sports media industry.
Yes. Very
he
true.
He fits right in.
Yeah, like if I saw, I mean, I'm
he's
looking at
reach.
And they proceed to post the photo, like they show the photo of what Drew Ortiz, air quotes, supposedly looks like. And like, I would buy that as like a guy who writes about sports. Looks like a dude who writes about sports, probably. But also his last name is Ortiz, and they made him very white. Not that there aren't like white dudes, like white dudes or white passing dudes whose last name is Ortiz, but try a little harder.
Also, he does not look like somebody who spends his summers on a farm.
No, it does not. Show me the farmer's tan, Drew Ortiz.
Well, I feel like the most damning thing is this, like, is this creating of like fictional writers, because to me, I feel like, okay, so if it's AI, it's AI. Lots of companies have AI, you know, content. That's not new, but it's this like charade of maintaining all these like fake people who like rotated around. They would like rotate through different writers. And like, that's the part that feels so, so really insidious and underhanded and like, this is kind of how it all rots out.
Well, they even mentioned that in the article. They say you kind of broke the contract between writer and reader, because when you put a byline on something, the readers are going to react to it either positively or negatively, and they're going to reach out to the author of that article. And that's how it keeps, you know, fact-checking in check. But you broke that contract now, because there is no author to reach out to.
Opinion. Well, the Mets should trade Pete Alonso this offseason. Oh no, it's an AI article, and the people in the comments are yelling at nobody.
Well, it's
Okada at that point.
Taking responsibility. It's, you know, so it's like, oh, I definitely heard that, you know, Pete Alonso's getting traded. It's coming out tomorrow. And then like, oh no, that was actually AI generated. Like, you know, that's coming from an outside source. That's not us. And it's like, that's what they're hiding behind now, is like not taking responsibility for what's actually being reported on.
Yeah.
So do you think that they're going to have AI generated podcasts? Are we going to be out of a job too?
Well, they had that AI woman singing. What if they do like take the next step and have her podcasting?
Yeah. We're all getting replaced by robots.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
I mean, I think the good news is that we don't get paid enough to be at the top of anyone's list to eliminate.
That's true.
The robot won't feel pain when she's talking about the Mets, so
no,
maybe it's better this way.
But we'll still feel pain. We just won't have an outlet to release it.
Just have to go back to throwing my remote at the TV like I used to.
Like normal.
Like normal.
We're all going to end up drinking a lot more.
But then will there be an AI-generated players?
I mean, it's all just a giant slot machine anyway at this point. Why not?
Yeah, sure. All right. To end this AI-generated podcast on a more positive note, we will do walk-off wins, where we each talk about something that is making us happy this week, baseball-related or otherwise. Linda Cerevich, what is your walk-off win for this week?
Mine's probably Thanksgiving. It's always, you know, a good, one of my favorite holidays. The food's always good. It's one of the few times I get to see my extended family over the course of a year. So my poor niece got sick in the morning, so she did not make it to Thanksgiving on Thursday. But then my mom does a second Thanksgiving for just my immediate family on Saturday. So I got two Thanksgivings. And I made cookies. This was my first year attempting baking and not something store-bought. And I also made a pasta salad, a butternut squash and orzo pasta salad that I think came out okay.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, I was actually really proud of myself with a nice balsamic glaze. It was actually pretty good, and I have all the leftovers, so I'm set for the rest of the week. But it's always a nice time to, just get together, eat, drink, and just general. And plus, then we all do fantasy football together, so then there was a lot of trash talking about fantasy football and nervousness watching the game, hoping your guys scores points. And
That's what the holiday is all about.
absolutely. What? You're just supposed to be stand there and be thankful? Like, no. I'm still so the butt fumble Thanksgiving, because all my family are Jets fans, it was still one of the best memories I had.
It is one of those things. Every time I watch it, it's still really
It
funny.
will always be funny. My apologies to Jets fans, but it's hilarious.
It's really funny.
So yeah, no, it was a good time. And then my niece was feeling better on Saturday, so we're able to see the kids on Saturday.
Yay.
So it was a good time. And then I went Black Friday shopping. I braved the malls, and it was. I spent money on myself, which, you got to take advantage of the sales. So yeah, it was just overall a really nice weekend, and tough to go back to work today.
Yeah. The Monday after the holiday is always the worst.
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah, Jets fans spent their Thanksgiving not too long ago witnessing the butt fumble. I spent my Black Friday witnessing the Jets embarrass themselves again on national television. So, time-honored tradition, as they say.
Yeah, what would we do without the Jets on Thanksgiving?
Seriously. Maggie Wiggin, what is your walk-off win for this week?
Right, so stop me if you've heard this one. And sorry, Allison, because I think I saw it on the sheet too. My walk-off win is Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday, and I've been going through some family changes the last year, and it's just really special to get to be there for my favorite holiday with the best food. We went to my mom's house, and my mom cooks so good, and it was just a really chill, happy time. And my mom was doing almost all the cooking, which is insane. And that meant that I got to spend the entire morning in my jam jams watching the parade. And that is not something I have done in many years. Certainly not none of the years that I've had children, I have like remained in my jam jams watching the parade. So that was super special. And then I do have to do a quick shout out just because I assigned this to my walk-off win a couple weeks ago, which is that Starbucks brought back the gingerbread lattes. It's been
Yes.
5 years, and they have always been the best of the holiday offerings, especially for people who don't always want the absolute sweetest thing on the menu. So shout out gingerbread lattes. I had written an email, so I'm assuming it was my doing. You're welcome.
We're all gonna, I'm gonna assume that it was your doing too.
It was definitely my doing.
Absolutely.
I had a nice Thanksgiving too, so that's also my walk-off win. Before the Jets ruined it all, that's not part of it. They don't get to be a part of it. That was part of my Thanksgiving weekend, but they don't get to be a part of the walk-off win. It was cold and the game was bad, and that's all I'm gonna say about that part.
Wait, you win?
Oh yeah, I was there physically.
Oh.
My body was in the seat. Yes,
It
at
was not a
Mets.
happy, it was not a happy tweet.
It was happy for some people that I was with. So it I mean, we got tickets to this game ages ago because as folks who know me know, my fiance is a Jets fan, but my brother and dad are Dolphins fans. So this was a little fun family rivalry game. So my brother and my dad had a great time. Michael did not have a good time. I did not have a good
No.
time because I was cold. It was
That's a good enough
very
reason for
cold.
me.
I care much more about how cold it is than
yes, same. But I mean, I did get to witness like the like mood change in the building between like the, because the Jets picked off Tua and scored a touchdown. They had a pick six. And then, so that was like the jubilation, because it got them within, I think, one score. I can't remember. Got them within a touchdown, I think, at the time. And then right before the half, which was shown on probably every television and every like sports center highlight, the right before the half ended, the Jets threw a Hail Mary into the end zone, which the Dolphins caught and returned 98 yards or 99 yards for a touchdown.
Not what you want.
Basically, put the game entirely out of reach for the Jets. And it was absolutely horrendous. And that happened like right after the pick six. It was like not too long after that. So, yeah, it was a big, big mood swing change. And it was cold the whole time. I was very cold. I didn't like it. So last year when I went to a Jets game in person, it rained the whole time. It wasn't that cold temperature wise. It was like in the 50s, but it was raining, pouring as hard as it could possibly rain. And this time it was like cold. And I'm like, Michael, next year I am begging you, can we please go to a game in September? I just like can't do this anymore.
I mean, at the very least, maybe he doesn't want you to come at all anymore. Like, that's some bad juju.
Yeah.
They won the rain game I was at. In fact, that was the last game they won last season.
I just assumed because it was the Jets.
Yeah, fair. It's a fair assumption to make. Yeah. It is. No, that was the last game they won last season. I watched Mike White whiffed the Jets to victory, and then they did not win any games after that the whole rest of the season. So I am not the bad... I am not the bad omen here. It's not me. Not my fault.
Very Zach Scott of you.
Yeah, very Zach Scott of me. Not my fault. Not my problem. I was not responsible for the James McCann contract. That was Sandy. But my actual walk-off win was Thanksgiving Day, which was lovely. We were at Michael's mom's, and Michael's mom is a wonderful cook.
Moms that can cook, hooray.
Yeah, much like your mom, Maggie, she cooked basically everything, but I did make one very important contribution to the Thanksgiving spread, which is my aunt's famous carrot souffle.
Ooh,
It is delicious, and it got compliments from everybody at Michael's Thanksgiving, and that made me happy because now I can bring that in from my family's Thanksgiving tradition to my new family's Thanksgiving tradition. So that's very nice, and that makes me happy, and it makes up for the carrot souffle I left on the tray.
I feel so bad.
Yeah, that's a funny story. It's not a walk-off win in the sense that it's not happy, but now that like it's over and I'm done feeling like very angry and upset at myself about it, now it's funny and I can talk about it.
Moment in every story.
Exactly. Is, yeah. So I made this carrot souffle three different times in the span of a week. Because it's the thing that I bring to all the Thanksgiving type gatherings. So I brought it, you know, the weekend before Thanksgiving, I brought it to our, like, we had like a Friendsgiving, my friends and I, which was also lovely and wonderful. So I brought it to my Friendsgiving. It was a big hit there. And then the Monday before Thanksgiving, it was my work's Thanksgiving potluck. So I had planned to bring the carrot souffle to that as well. I made it. I spent all morning slaving over it so I could bring it to the Thanksgiving potluck at lunchtime. I packed it up nice and good, and it's like to go tin with the lid. And I put it in a nice insulated bag with a serving spoon so that would stay warm on the train.
Sounds
on the way
like
to
you're
work.
Being super careful, and I bet it's all gonna pay off.
I know. Yeah, that's how these this story always
now
ends,
for
right?
The end of the story. Let's hear it go.
My commute to work involves a transfer between one line of the metro and another one. So I got off at my transfer station with my backpack, with my computer in it. The casserole was on the seat next to me. I got up with my backpack. I did not get up with the the bag with the casserole or with the souffle in it.
Tragic story.
And I literally realized it after I stepped onto the platform and I turned around and watched the train drive away and I could see my bag through the window sitting on the seat and it was driving away. And I was like, well, there goes the souffle. Goodbye.
That's an O. Henry story right there.
It really is. It really is. And I was like, I just like, it was one of those moments where I like stood on the platform and I just went, shit. And startled the man next to me because he was like, why is this woman like
freaking out,
cursing on the platform?
See, at least on the New York City subway, like five people would have seen and they wouldn't, nobody would have grabbed it in time, but they'd all be like, man, that sucked.
Yeah.
And sometimes like that's all what you need is like some random stranger being like, that sucked.
The woman who was sitting in the seat behind me, in the row behind me, like she, when I looked into the window and saw my bag, she and I locked eyes for a second. I think she knew. And she just kind of looked at me like, oh, shit, I'm so sorry. And as the train is driving away and she's still on it, she kind of looked at the bag and looked at me and was like, we're supposed to have that, wasn't she? Yeah. So I showed up to my work function empty handed. But luckily, they had so much food and I was able to tell them the story and they all laughed about it and it was fine. And I am just, the only thing that makes me feel better about that whole situation is that is the image of some poor Metro worker having to examine this unmarked, unattended bag for bombs and instead finding a carrot souffle, which I hope that they were able to enjoy. Like,
I honestly, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that happens a lot this time of year.
Probably. Yep. Yes.
It's like, oh, free food. I mean, probably shouldn't eat free food you find on the train as a general rule, because who knows what's in that? Who can
say? Thanksgiving, you have to at least consider it.
But yes. Like,
you know,
come
there's
on.
Some good stuff in there.
Yeah. Like, I hope that Metro employees enjoyed it. I filed a like missing like item report with Metro because like that was a really nice insulated bag and a nice serving spoon that also hit the dust with the souffle. But I have no hope of getting that back, I don't think, sadly. But yeah. So that's my Thanksgiving mishap. But then I redeemed myself by making the carrot souffle a third time for the family Thanksgiving, and it was a big hit there. So third time's a charm. Two out of three ain't bad. That's a 667 batting average, and that would put me for the greatest season of all time. That's what I have to say. I hope that you all also had a wonderful Thanksgiving, however you celebrate or don't celebrate it. I hope that you were able to spend time with family and at the very least, if not, have a nice, restful, long weekend. Yeah, we will record again in a couple of weeks. And in the meantime, you can go to homerunapplesauce.com to check out all of our fantastic pods. If you would like to support our work, and we encourage you to do so. It's a really nice, a Patreon subscription is a really nice gift to get for your family member. Just saying, it's a really nice gift to get someone. So
or yourself. Don't forget yourself.
Yeah, treat yourself, man.
Treat yourself. It's a holiday.
Christmas comes but once a year.
Mm-hmm. It would make our holidays a lot better if we got some new patrons. That'd be awesome. You can go to patreon.com.
Exclusive content.
Which is coming. Holiday content is coming. You can go to patreon.com/homerunapplesauce to support our work. You can follow Home Run Applesauce on Twitter and Instagram at HR Applesauce. You can follow this show on social media. We are at A Pod of Their Own on all of the things. You can follow us, each of us on Twitter and Blue Sky. I am at Petite PhD. Where are you, Linda?
At Linda Servich.
And you, Maggie?
At Maggie162.
Please subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast app of choice. Just search Home Run Applesauce. You should be able to find all of our wonderful podcasts right there. If you rate and review the show, it really helps people find it. The original intro and outro music to this podcast is by Bunga. Let's go Mets. And don't forget, there is no crying in podcasts.